Two Central Illinois artists currently have their work on view at the McLean County Arts Center in Bloomington. One looks back at the wild emotions of childhood. The other examines the fragile world around us and prompts us to take action to protect it. GLT's Laura Kennedy has more.
Rhea Edge combines art, activism, and environmental conservation in her latest exhibition, Memory and Loss. The paintings are on view in the Art Center's Brandt Gallery, a large, airy space that's appealing to Edge.
Part of it is that it's an opportunity to create an environment with daylight, hanging the paintings low, and bringing people into the world of the tropics. I was fortunate enough to visit Trinidad and be able to see the Caroni Swamp, where I studied the scarlet ibises coming in from Venezuela. So I have a great affection for scarlet ibises and this particular habitat, which was so lush and beautiful. This painting is featuring the habitat 10 years apart. So an earlier depiction and then the juveniles flying and flying free in this area here. Part of the same trip is leatherback sea turtle studies, and Dale Birkenholz and I went out at night and to a scene similar to this on Matura Beach.
Were they laying their eggs?
And they were laying their eggs. And they're between 500 and 800 pounds. And you can see that in this larger piece over here, which is just a wondrous living thing, where you see the carapace or the back of the turtle. Galapagos is another place where Dale and I traveled, and one of the birds that I really wanted to see as someone who's very interested in ornithology and bird conservation is the flightless cormorant. And we were able to see that cormorant and its short, stunted wings and watch it in its habitat in addition to many, many wonderful species. So the mission of my work is to present the power and the importance and significance of species and animals on planet Earth and our role in protecting and preserving the habitats for them.
You don't show locally very often. Do you find that with the conversation about climate change, and here we are just after three devastating hurricanes that have just hit this part of the world, there's a lot going on with regards to the environment. Do you find that now, more than ever, this kind of work needs to get out there?
I do. I especially do. And it's such a fantastic opportunity to show works and to show works on a large scale in this particular gallery, in this community that is so responsive and aware of social consciousness and some of these issues. But for me personally, it's extremely significant that we start to pay attention to our role in helping any way we can to preserve and protect the planet. And the subject of global warming, the subject of climate change, it doesn't matter whether it is man-made or whether it is a natural part of the process. We have done a lot as human beings to encroach on the habitats of animals and wildlife.
Rhea, do you feel that art can really make a change, can really make a difference, as opposed to maybe going out and linking arms and being a part of a protest or what have you? Is art really going to impact people? And if so, how?
I teach a class at Eureka College in environmental art, and the first question that I ask my students is, can art be activists? Can art make a difference? And throughout the course, we explore different ways in which art has made a difference and influenced social change. I definitely do believe that art of all kinds, including theater, poetry, writing, can make a difference. And that it's time. It's a perfect time for painting and visual art to play a more significant and dominant role in social change.
You know, when we walked in here, you immediately took me to the far south wall, and then we just sort of walked around, and it's almost as if there's a narrative going on, painting to painting to painting. Is that what you're trying to achieve with these works?
The paintings were made over a period of time that reflect a lot of different travels, mostly to the tropics, and mostly to study birds and mammals. But the experiences themselves generate strong feelings of empathy and love and responsiveness for the areas themselves and the individuals that inhabit those areas, including the indigenous peoples. So what will happen when I get home to the studio is an image will linger with me. It needs a voice, and so the painting begins to give it a voice. So we have the monk seal coming through the waves here. We have the highly endangered pangolin that's swinging from the trees. We have the whoosh in a forest where the negative spaces for an owl came through, a forest owl that is no longer inhabiting that forest. We have the alligator chorus, where unloved reptiles and crocodiles and those animals and insects that are unattractive and unappealing and some people are afraid of are singing for their survival and in some way being blessed in the painting. As we move around the room, there is definitely attention to endangered species and a kind of helplessness and dependency on people to notice and take care and make a difference. So if you look into the faces of the turtles, a turtle, a seal, all the images are confrontational. They're looking out at the viewer and they're asking for attention. The painting forms a bridge. It forms a bridge between the artist's experience and the viewer's access of that emotion and that reality, and frankly, of that truth. Wanting to give people an opportunity to see the color, the vibrance, the value of these habitats, and to spark people's interest in becoming activists on these subjects.
That's Rhea Edge. Memory and Loss is on view through October 28th. Memory plays a role in the show currently up in the Armstrong Gallery, Memory and Observation, and a fondness for all things childlike. Because that's the show's name, Childlike, featuring sculptures and painted drawings by Harold Boyd. Dominating the space is a sculptural tableau installation depicting children at play. Boyd says he was inspired watching kids tumbling about at a daycare at the gym.
They can't stop running and doing, which makes them these little animals of innocence and activity and energy and everything wonderful. When they come into the gym, they hold them before they go into their half of the gym so that when people are running and walking, they don't run into. So when nothing is on their side, then the supervisor says, go, because they want them to go fast. And so then they tear into their half of the gym, and then they don't stop. They have toys in there, of course, but they have mats in there and all kinds of things that amuse children. And they just work at it. Well, I saw that so many times over so many years, I thought I just had to do something that was memorializing that. But they have different shapes and sizes. This one was a tumbler. She was tumbling. This is a female one. I am generally what in the literature is called a figurative artist, which I don't use very much, but the literature does. So what I was looking for here for a child project was energy. But there's a lot of energy and a lot of kinetic action. And so running, wrestling, or fighting. But most of them, there's very little fighting because they're so entranced by each other. So this is just wrestling around being goofballs, okay? Then this is the one that was trying to do some gymnastics. This one is very much, I would say, a slightly older child, but it's way out front. If you'll see, there's a directional movement from this side of the table to this side of the yes. table. So there is a rush just overall, but it's expending wonderful energy. That's their goal, and they do it perfectly.
And we also have some works on the wall.
They're okay. Acrylic on a very thin kind of canvas.
And here we have children being children all over the place.
Yeah. Well, it's just a two-dimensional replica of what is three-dimensional about the table here. And I did have a motive. They have titles, too, each one. Mm-hmm. But the generic on the project is the contrast of children can go from being shy and even afraid, and the world is still new to them and scary. But there's another contrary side of children and their delights. What makes them giggle in that good, not so good reality of a child? Going down the line, I have, and I'll run it for you real quickly.
Okay.
This is a little autobiographic, I will admit to it. This one is called Being Afraid of Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, because there's everything when you're a kid is potentially scary.
Yeah, it's that or go to hell.
That's right. This one looks like there's somebody's trying to do almost a circus in a house.
Yes. This is Ken Holder dancing with his first granddaughter, Tallulah. Ken Holder, I've always called Mr. Music.
Uh-huh.
And so I gave
piano keys at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. So that's delightful. Another kid, inevitable thing, starts at some point with Crayolas and pencils and stuff. This is a child drawing a self-portrait. So what I did was do it twice because the image of the child is replicated under the kid. So it's a weird kind of spatial quirk on the whole thing. So stylistically, there's a certain kind of, I would think, some might find the drawing in this. It's all brushwork, but it's kind of clumsy. And that was on an intent because I wasn't trying to be chic, if you will.
That's artist Harold Boyd. Childlike runs through October 28th at the McLean County Arts Center in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.
You can see a slideshow of photos from the exhibit at our website, wglt.org.